What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight on The Phil Hendry Show, Doug Danger, the entertainment reporter for the Orange County Courier, will talk with us about the Paula Abdul controversy and how, in Doug's opinion, she has broken faith with the millions of fans and reached out and anointed one of them as a sex partner. And as the result, there could be urban disturbance. I don't want to bother you with any details. This is Doug's. He's afraid of cannibalism. I'll just come right out and tell you. What if the millions of American Idol fans, who he calls, and this is his opinion, a mishmash of low-income Hispanics and blacks, throw in rural whites and low-intellect urban whites, the very kind of people, when thrown together after a trauma like this, they'll begin to eat each other's young. And we'll be talking with Doug about that when we have him on our program in our next hour. And I have a nice piece of news. We are returning to the airwaves of Houston very soon, as early as possibly next week. Houston, Tejas, will have the Phil Hendry Show back on. We'll also be returning to the airwaves of Portland. And the people who have relentlessly emailed us about Portland, please understand that we are going to be back on the air in Portland. We only go back on the air in towns that we feel we're not going to be hurt. We're not going to have our feelings hurt. We're almost like a, we're almost as if we're, it's like a rejected suitor. You know, you sort of, you come back kind of holding on to yourself. Don't hurt me, you know. So we'll be back on in Portland, Oregon. We'll be back on in Houston. We may have some good news about New York. I'm really hopeful that the program will be heard, and cross your fingers, in Moscow, as well as East Berlin. So that's going to be coming up, and I can only tell you, we're thrilled. Actually, you can get the show in East Berlin right now. All you got to do is go to the internet. What do I care, man? Log on to your computer. We're on everywhere. North Pole. Take your computer to the South Pole. Now, I just wanted to tell you, when I got to the office today, and I got here very, very early because I had to go over, you know, King of the Hill is going to be leaving the airwaves of, I don't know whether anybody cares that King of the Hill is going off the air, the brilliant animated comedy from Mike Judge that aired on Fox for so many years. But I'm happy for you, Mike, that you were able to at least partake of the monetary windfall from the show, because are you aware that he created another show called Beavis and Butthead? You guys remember Beavis and Butthead? Mike didn't get a nickel from that, as far as I know, or he doesn't get much, because it's owned by MTV. And as many people do, as we all do when we're very young and we're very foolish and we're also very hungry, we sign contracts that basically we give away all of anything we're ever going to make. Yeah, you know these, you ever read in the newspaper, Billy Joel sues his manager, and you wonder, what the hell's going on? That's because that way, way back, when some cat walked into a dump and saw Billy Joel playing one of those stand-up pianos, wearing a derby hat with a cigar stub in his mouth, and he said, kid, I'm going to make you a star. The guy's like, well, I'll do anything I can for that. Well, sure, just sign right here. The kid didn't read anything, and it just basically says, I own you. I own you from now until anything you do, I own. And then they turn around and they sue, and they got to settle out of court. Mike Judge, I think that was kind of the situation with Beavis and Butthead, but King of the Hill was a different story. So it's going off the air in any event. I don't make a big long thing about this. And I went over to do the final little bit of voice work for it today. And that was at 10:30 this morning. Now, I get off the air at 10. I get home by about 11, 11:30, because it's a little bit of work I do in the office after I get off the air. And then I'm up right away. It's 8 o'clock, because I got to get into Santa Monica by 9:30. And you may think, well, that's an hour and a half? Uh-huh. You got it. Thank you. Welcome to L.A. I'm leaving the beach at Ventura, swinging south along Channel Islands Boulevard. Then a very gentle right takes me out onto the very smooth and beautiful free sailing of Pacific Coast Highway. There to my right is the luxurious Pacific Ocean. Off to my left, a little bit of ice plant as the day begins to dawn. Now, right behind me, some jackball in a big jacked up truck. All I see is grill in my rearview mirror. What do? Tap my brakes, back him off, get into the day. Just another wonderful day in America. Continuing on south, I head through what you all know is a little place called Malibu. There, here and there, you'll see women, the large engorged collagen-injected lips, the fake breasts, the flat or no ass. Strolling along, one might notice surfers. Yes, surfers. Here it is, the beginning of a day. What do these guys do for a living? We haven't a faint idea. I wouldn't know, man. Cats in wetsuits up and down the beach. I'm driving to work. No sleep. And these cats are, did you see me smack the lip on that last? That's bitching, okay? So that's bitching. And I want to drive by, pull out a weapon, and just start spraying. Then I motor on down further, and it's into Santa Monica I go. I go up onto Arizona to a little recording studio where a girl behind the desk goes, "Hi, Keegan Hill." Oh, yeah, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm here.
Okay, it's an ADR. You want some coffee?
Yeah. So I go back. I get a bun, coffee. Do the thing, man. Now, that takes about the whole drive is an hour and a half. What do I? And I go in to do King of the Hill, 3 minutes, and I'm out of there, right? You know, okay, Phil, thanks a lot. That's it. You just needed me to burp? That's all we needed was the burp. I got out of bed at 7 o'clock. I don't care. Come on, next. Come on, let's get them all in here. Huh? Where's that Brittany Murphy? Come on, get her in. I saw a lot of, when I was doing that show, you know, I'm a fan just like you guys, right? And they'll say, well, this week we've got, who's the guy that did George of the Jungle? Brendan Fraser, right? Was that the guy that did The Mummy? He was on one of the shows, right? Nice guy. Says, well, this week's going to be Brendan Fraser. So every week I'd sit down and go, God, look at that, man. There's Brendan Fraser over there. Elijah Wood, he came in 1 week. Brittany Murphy every week, right? I see her in all kinds of fan magazines now, right? And, of course, you know, you work with her often enough. You'd say, can I have your autograph? No. No way. All right, so anyway, I got done with that. I get out onto the street, and I come on into work here. I'm here for like 4 hours ahead of time. I walk into my office, and what do I see? Sitting on my desk, someone has tossed a copy of a radio trade journal, a radio trade magazine. Now, whatever you guys do for a living, you probably have a trade newspaper, a trade magazine. This is probably very standard across the world, especially now with the internet. Everybody's doing a newsletter of some kind. Everyone does a magazine of some kind. Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, a pipe fitter, construction, we all have trade journals. In our business, we have trade journals. And I'm looking at this thing, and I sat down, and I'm reading about other radio hosts that do talk radio, and I literally wanted to bury my face in my hands and just heave with sobs. Because the state of this business, talk radio, is so depressing for me, personally, that I just want to, I want to reach down the way they did right after we took Guadalcanal, the Japanese up there at the top of the hill, and just kind of go in, cut up, and then left. Do you ever see those cats just like, what is this cat going to do, man? He's committing harikari. What are you going to, just blow your brains out, man. You can take some poison. No, this is the way to do it. And like, and you see the guy just, it would be enough for me to get it in, but then I got to cut up and left? Dude's got to be psycho. Good thing he's leaving the earth, right? And I'm looking at this magazine, and it's all about news talk. I want to get into it. I can't get into the specifics, but you know what we do on our show. We do a lot of theatrics. We do a lot of, and talk radio is anywhere close to what it is that we do. And what it's doing, what I hear on the radio in terms of talk radio, makes me want to take a, what was that blade you figured out last night, Mark? The Namsui blade, the one that the Japanese used? I want to take it and just go in up left. Just, it's like you have to cut like a big L in your stomach or so. What the hell? You imagine, like, you get your ass kicked in war, and then when that's done, then you got to go, wog. Yeah. If you are defeated in battle, you'll take your life, the time-honored harikari. Now, wait a minute. I just want to get something clear here.
What?
All right, I get overrun by the enemy. I understand that. And it's a disgrace, right?
Yes. Big disgrace.
Can't I just, like, put the barrel in?
No, you mustn't.
Can it? Well, how about a little poison?
No. You sit on a mat, put on a bathrobe, just go, here, I'll demonstrate.
Oh, God, dude.
This is your Nihonto.
Nihonto, and that's the blade that I use?
Yes.
Oh, man, it's scary and everything.
What are you, some kind of sissy? You disgraced Japanese soldier.
Excuse me, but I'm still into my Pearl Harbor book, so you'll forgive me. Anyway, so I got so depressed, I decided to write a letter. to them. And I wrote, "Dear sirs, one of the most depressing, the single most depressing aspect of any day is when I walk in and I see your magazine sitting on my desk. Oh my God, how I hate you. Sincerely, Phil Hendry." Something like that, right? So I got a letter back from the editor, who's a pretty well-known guy in the business. He says, "Dear Phil," and it's always the same thing, "love your show. Isn't it great?" They don't want to seem like they're upset. And he says, "By P.S., if the single most depressing aspect of your day is seeing our magazine, you must have a pretty happy life." And I was about ready to fire off this email when Amir Forrester, who's like kind of, she's my guardian angel. She makes sure that I don't do or say anything that's going to get me fired. She said, "No, you better not send that, Phil, because I'll get the Nihondo out and we'll do a nice Q shape in your gut. How about that?" But it was going to say this: "No, you're wrong. I'm a very sad, angry, and depressed man. That's how bad your magazine is." See, I already walk in here wanting to just do the whole with the knife, and then I see yours, and I don't want to do an L. I want to spell my name in my stomach. "Your life must be pretty happy." "No, my life is very unhappy, and when I read your magazine about talk radio and what's going on in the business today, the business of radio, I want to kill myself six times over, man. I want to cut it open and hold my guts in with a towel." God! So then the cat writes back, "I'm sure you don't mind if we publish your letter." I didn't write anything. He's going to do what he's going to do. But now I'm on the air. And as I'm on the air, I think about how much I enjoy this and how much we have to do tonight and how grateful I am to be with you. And get the knife ready, bud.
You got it.
And I'll be right back. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tonight it's Doug Danger talking about Paula Abdul and her slut-like activities. Well, I didn't say that. He said her slut-like activities. And we're also going to be talking tonight to Jeff Dowder with another edition of What Would Jesus Do? It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, occasionally we get a request for a bit, a flashback from our archives, and if you'd like to hear one, just email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. And tonight we will play this for you here. It's from Michael. His request is, and here's his letter. It says, "Phil, since the first show I heard of you, I was hooked. It was Bobby Dooley, I think. She said she would have sex with her son to keep him at home, and her husband was on a roller coaster throwing up. Just wanted to say thanks, and I hope you keep entertaining us for a long time, Michael." And then in the middle, there's a whole bunch of blacked out stuff, like it's a Freedom of Information Act thing, and I don't know what's, but they protect me from these things. Well, here it is, Michael. It's Bobby Dooley. Wanted to keep her kid at home, so yes, she would even have sex with him. And her husband, meanwhile, Steve, is out on the roller coaster puking and enjoying it.
I'm infuriated by this woman. She needs true help.
I need help.
Yeah, and you need to let me finish because you've been saying what you have to say, so please let me finish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You stated that you, if it was about him leaving home for sex, that you would provide that. I am a mother of a son, okay?
As a last resort.
Let me finish. That is disgustingly perverse, and I wouldn't doubt it if you've not done it before. This is your whole problem. You need to seek psychological help. And your son, your husband is not very supportive if he's going to support you in these acts.
Well, I don't see how you're qualified.
Were you a slut when you and your husband got together?
I most certainly was not.
Okay, then what gives you the right to call every other female that's under your age a slut?
Because
anybody that's pursuing your son a slut?
You know as well as I do that these mothers are teaching their daughters to go out. Did you have venereal disease when you got pregnant?
No, ma'am, I did not.
All right, well.
Did you?
I find it hard to believe, but.
Why did you?
Did I?
Yes.
I had gone to Mexico with my senior class.
Because you were infested with gonorrhea or some other venereal disease, and you were probably a slut in your younger years.
I beg your pardon.
You call every other woman a slut.
I beg your pardon. I was.
Now, let me finish, because you have infuriated me along with hundreds of other people.
You have no right to call me that.
You are truly a sick person.
I went to Mexico with a senior class varsity football team. I was not supposed to go. My mother told me not to do it.
Uh-huh.
All right, so in other words, what? What are you telling us? That you had good parenting and you ignored it?
Yes.
The same that your son needs to ignore you and move as far away from you as possible.
I'm giving him good parenting, and he's ignoring it, too. He wants to move in with it.
Well, you know what? How do you know this girl has, this female, this other being that you're calling a slut and an it, how do you know that she has venereal diseases? How do you know that she won't be the best thing that ever walked into your son's life?
Ivy, a mother knows her son better than any woman ever.
You know what? I have a son, and yes, I do know that. But you know what?
And
I can replace the love of his life. I can replace 5 or 6 swings. I have a 3 or 5 back.
You know, someday some.
And I will never try. I will never try a psychotic, overbearing mother like you are.
I bet you hired some poor young man to impregnate you just so you wouldn't be lonely.
Now listen to you. Listen how pathetic you are.
Oh, come on, ladies.
No, I'm listening to this.
You're being extremely pathetic.
I'm being pathetic.
No, listen, you were driving your son away. You know how embarrassing that would be if you heard you say that you would have sex with him? Do you know how far?
We have had open
conversations. Drive your son away?
Have you talked to your son about this?
We've had open conversations about it, yes.
You're going to drive him so far away from you that he will never see you again.
No, I said to him simply, if it's just about the sex, darling, I'll provide it for you. And you know what he called me? He called me a filthy thing. And
yeah, that is a filthy thing.
How dare any boy say that to his mother? You know, I find that...
Well, look at that. You shocked the hell out of that boy. No wonder he said that. No wonder he wants to move out.
Do you understand how top-topping that is?
No boys respect their mothers anymore.
Let me say something.
I almost died giving birth to him.
You were worried about... You were worried about some slut, quote-unquote, taking your son away from you.
Oh, Ivy, you talk about...
Put your son, far away.
You know what? I bet you've had more sprouts than drinks of water.
Trust me.
Well, I just think you're wrong, and
no, I think you're wrong, and hundreds of other people think that you're extremely wrong. And
oh, really? Have you talked to all of them?
For the issues that you need to address.
Well, you know something? I bet you've had more swabs than drinks of water. Thank you.
Don't know
oh my
me.
God!
How can you judge me like that? You're putting your
you think you know everything? Well, you've got a little tiny boy.
Laundry.
You know you don't. You know something?
You don't know. I have not told you.
All right, ladies, ladies.
I know something. One thing about my personal life, and you have no reason. To degrade me like that. You, on the other hand, Pat.
Absolutely.
You, on the other
I agree
hand, talk a sick human being. You need help.
You know what? Here's what I've got to say to you.
By request of the Phil Henry Show, that is the Bobby Dooley bit where she offered her son sex if it would keep him at home and away from that thing he's dating. Here is Jeff Dowder joining us. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing really good, Phil. I really enjoy your program tonight, but that's rude. I mean,
the Bobby Dooley thing?
Oh, my God, that's rude. That's way, way, way out there, and I'm only hopeful that the authorities have been alerted to this, that, you know, to what she's trying to do.
Well, I think that woman talks a good game, but what she follows up on is...
All show, no go?
Probably.
Okay, Phil, I'm on the program tonight to talk about a little bit about this runaway bride. I've submitted a treatment for a screenplay based upon her life. And I wanted to talk to you and your listeners tonight about this whole idea of things that are funny even though you shouldn't laugh at them. And that's my topic of discussion on tonight's Talking Points.
What do you mean, Talking Points?
Well, I mean, that's my...
Get out of here with that O'Reilly stuff. Just read what you're going to read, will you?
As the purpose of my discussion on Talking Points.
Just read it.
Well, today's topic is, wouldn't it be funny if that runaway bride in the news got kidnapped, raped, and tossed into a ditch like a worthless rag doll, and nobody cared because they think she's making it up, see? So I wrote the...
Yeah, that's a riot, man. That's really hysterical.
Well, I mean, you got to admit...
Hold on for a minute. Yeah, David?
Yeah, David Hall. Who's this guy?
My name's Jeff Dowder. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with the program director. What's he? Who is he?
It's Jeff Dowder. He has the bit, wouldn't it be funny?
Wouldn't it be funny? Oh, well, here, let me, allow me to comment. Ha, 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 ha. What do you got this guy on for? I hear this retard. You know, you got one in the studio. Who is this guy? Some kind of a sun-baked freak?
Hey. Hey.
Shut up. Now, hey.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He's just saying, since that woman cried wolf, suppose she went missing from the next time they get married, and they find her in a ditch.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, okay, that's my whole thing. If you find it funny, then thank you.
No, I don't find it funny. You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
All right, you gotta go, Jeff.
What?
You gotta go.
Get him out of here. Boy, that blows.
Sorry.
Yeah, ha ha!
Well, I mean, that's not funny, but it's possible.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we have Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on the Paula Abdul situation. And has she broken faith with her fans by reaching out and touching in an intimate way one of them? It was all right when celebrities have sex with each other. It's almost as if the gods are dancing there up on Mount Olympus, while the rest of us are just here,
Jesus, spit it out.
Just here. However, when one of the gods reaches down from the Olympus, when one of the gods, it's what Eric Bogosian calls that pantheon of gods, the celebrities. You know what I mean, don't you? They're all up there way above us. There's Paula Abdul. And over here is Brad Pitt. And there's Jennifer Aniston. You just see them leering at us from above the clouds, wearing long white silk gowns and cloaks, staring, oh, sometimes approvingly, oftentimes disapprovingly at us, and they play chess with our lives, just moving the pieces about the board, bored gods, while they screw with us. The hell am I saying? Anyway, Doug Danger...
You're all in a heap.
Yeah, I'm getting off half-cocked here. Doug Danger will be with us in just a moment. Phil Hendry Show, when I get a call in here, I've got on the line. Oh, and I also wanted to... hold on for a minute. What? Yeah, David.
What do you mean half-cocked? What is that?
It doesn't mean anything sexual.
Well, I'll determine that. Now, as I've said to you before, the FCC is...
I understand about the FCC. Half-cocked doesn't mean anything other than a guy who doesn't know what he's trying to say.
I'm watching you.
I wanted to say, I forget. Oh, yeah, King of the Hill, some people called and said, what character did you play on King of the Hill? I was not a regular character. I played guest parts. In other words, one time I was Jewel Crawford, a lawyer. Another time I played Peggy's boss at the newspaper. I've played two coaches. I played Coach Sauer, who is Bobby's football coach at Tom Landry High, I think. I think that was the name of the high school. And one I just did the looping for today is another coach. He's like a track coach for Bobby. And I also did a lot of small parts, like I'm the announcer at the, do they have like a barbecue, annual, what's the town Hank Hill lives in? Arlen, Texas. I was the announcer at the state pork fair or something like that, you know, so just a lot of different things. When you were watching in reruns, you know, look for my name every now and again. I get a little residual check, about 25 cents every, I swear to God, you got a residual check because it like played in Hong Kong. All of a sudden in the mail, well, look at this. Yeah, we got a check here from Fox. What is it? It's for $20. What? Because the King of the Hill one that you did, they just aired it in, it was in Botswana. It just did a full solid week of, they did a King of the Hill festival in the Ivory Coast. So you're getting your big residual checks. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-449-8686. Bob, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, how are you doing? It's Bob Green.
How are you, sir?
Very good, Phil. I am very much enjoying your contribution to talk radio. I appreciate it very much. I know you said you're frustrated with the business.
Well, it's a lot of inside stuff. I shouldn't be talking about it. You know.
Well, I can tell you that of all the shows I listen to, I think I get the biggest kick out of yours. I wanted to comment. I don't know if any of your callers have called in about the Lindy England case as it pertains to the prison abuse.
We haven't really gotten too much into it. I thought maybe, you know, the courts are just going to have to decide.
I think it's important to point out something that I heard in the news today, that Ms. England, apparently, according to a West Virginia school psychologist, and I it's difficult for me to say this, but is it your understanding that she is some kind of a, I don't know what you call it, some kind of a pan face? Or is
I don't know what you mean by pan face, sir.
Well, I'm trying to be delicate. But the psychologist said that she didn't get enough oxygen when she was born. Like, her brain went dead for a while. Are you familiar with that?
Lindy, are you talking about the Army girl?
Yeah, the woman accused of the abuse.
No, I don't. What do you mean her brain went dead?
Of course. Well, you're not following the story, are you?
Well, I'm following it as closely as I can. What happened?
According to a school psychologist, when she was born, somehow there was no air. And so her brain was deprived of oxygen, and it might have died for a minute. And then it came back. But now they're saying, as the result of that, she may have some kind of a pan face kind of...
What do you mean a pan face?
Well, sir, I would like to refer you to the photograph of her in today's Fox News on the website. There's a picture of her smiling. And if you look at this picture... you very clearly have seen that face before. Someone standing behind their mother, holding onto her skirt at McDonald's, all 26 years old of them.
Are you trying to say that she might have Down syndrome?
That is my understanding, yes.
Sir, I sincerely doubt that.
Well, hold on for just a minute. Because my question goes...
I don't think she has Down syndrome.
Have you seen the picture?
No, I haven't.
You look at this picture, and you're looking at, my God, you're looking at a Chinaman. That's the only thing that...
Look, all I'm trying to tell you is I'm not familiar with anything having to do with mental incapacitation on the part of this woman, and I doubt seriously whether she would be a member of the United States Army.
Well, that's my point. And
How's she going to get into the Army if she's got that kind of a problem?
Well, that's my point. You're talking about the United States Army, number one. And I think it's very well known by a lot of us who were in the military that if there's one branch of the service anyone can get into, it's the U.S. Army.
And are you telling me that they take people in the U.S. Army that may be mentally retarded?
Huh. Have you ever heard of Douglas MacArthur? Now, I was... those pan-faced types are strong. They're very strong like apes. And what they do,
I don't want to hear the word pan-face.
But I'm saying they could strangle the enemy.
I'm saying to you I don't want to hear the word pan-face any longer.
Look, you get one of them hanging off of you, it's like a baboon.
I'm sorry.
I don't want any more calls like that. I don't understand what this young lady, England, if the lady had some kind of mental incapacitation, retardation, whatever you want to call it, I don't think she'd be in the United States military. And
mess with a pan face.
Get him off of my TELUS, please.
Sorry, he broke off a hold.
Oh, come on, Dickman. What kind of a phone screener are you? You got to be the world's worst, man. When people are busting off a hold, you're the world's worst phone screener. That makes it official.
Well, I think it's a little harsh, isn't it?
No, that's not harsh at all. When a guy is put on hold and he can bust off through sheer force of will... You suck. Lindy England was quoted as today in the news as saying that she had a choice. She decided to do what her friends wanted her to do. I think she is an individual who speaks well enough that I don't think that there's a lack of understanding what it was that she did. And as far as anything else is concerned, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger coming on the Phil Hendry Show in a few minutes to talk about the Paula Abdul controversy.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
5 James McQuarters joins us now. Father McQuarters, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
And Father McQuarters, I was talking about Linda England with a listener with any sensitivity, saying that the poor young lady might have been oxygen deprived.
My understanding, Phil, is that Linda England, yes, I've done a great deal of work with some of God's more unfortunate children. But I can tell you that I don't think this young lady is retarded. Not in the classic sense of the retardation. I think the young lady that we're speaking of, Linda England, I think had some learning disabilities.
Well, that's my understanding. She had learning disabilities, but she's...
She doesn't have the classic retardation, nor the classic mongoloid feature. You see, the gloid. When the gloid is...
I don't know. What do you mean by the gloid?
Well, you know, the children...
We can call them Down syndrome.
Absolutely. Down syndrome children. Some of God's most unfortunate children. They come to Mass... As a matter of fact, Phil, I have here a recording from last Sunday. I've taken to recording a lot of these people when they come into church. And the reason for this, Phil, is I can take this to the new Holy Father in Rome. Pope whatever the hell. I don't even...
Don't you know the name of the Pope?
I, honest to God, I forgot.
Benedict? Isn't it Benedict?
Smile when you say that.
Well, I said Pope Benedict.
Oh, yes. Here's a recording, Phil. And I was right in the middle of my sermon.
Okay.
And so I said to myself, we're going to have to get ourselves a Lloyd room.
Hang up on him.
You can't hang up on me. I'm a priest of God.
Hang up on him, bud.
Right.
He said Lloyd room twice. That's two is good for me.
Oh, why don't you get a piece of fat and slide?
See, there needs to be a level of sensitivity even from a Catholic priest. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger ahead, I guess.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Actually, it's interesting talking to Father McQuarters, who is one of the more insensitive of all Catholic priests, because on Sunday we were over at my son Chris's confirmation. Now, when you're a Catholic, you get confirmed. Now, that means you are deciding you want to become a Catholic. I don't know, a lot of religions got a similar thing, don't they? And you get a confirmation name. Ed, Bobo, whatever, you know. And then you go and the priest asks you questions, you know. Now, I remember when I got confirmed, I was 12. Now you got to be a little bit older. It's like 15 or 16. But the priest will come down and say, who is God and why was he here? And you got to ask a whole lot of stuff, and you better know what the hell it is they're asking you. And during this Mass, there were two young guys. They were probably 15, 16 years old, and they had some form of autism. And so during the quiet stretches of the Mass, you know, the priest is speaking to the confirmandi, I think is the name. It's like a Latin. You'd hear these boys kind of blurt out in sort of a Tourette manner. It kind of broke the silence of the church, right? And one of the things is, because there was a confirmation thing going on, there's all kinds of people there that are family members. They're not Catholics. They don't get it. They don't understand what is going on here. And the instinct is, when you hear, you know, the priest is like, and so today we celebrate, whoa! And another thing, and you know, the guy just keeps going, we all do, right? Well, the other cats that are not Catholic, they're looking like, hey, this is great, this is like nuttier than a ball game, that's like WWF. And of course, there's a part in the Mass where you turn around and the priest says, now offer each other a sign of... fellowship or peace, and you turn around to anybody and say, peace be with you. You shake their hand. And there's this family across the aisle from me,
And my wife says, what do you think, Italians? I go, that's really racist of you, just because they have gold chains around their necks. But yes, I do. And I reached over to one of them at this Peace Be With You. And the guy did the whole two-handed Italian thing like, hey, yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. Peace be with you, brother. All right. The two hands, you know. And then the whole thing ends, and these cats think it's some kind of a social club. They're standing out in the aisle, they're rapping and everything. But as I walked outside of this church, and I got out there into the the parking lot, one of my kids comes up to me and says, how come we can't do that? Do what? Blurt out stuff like that in church? Those young men are, you know, they're afflicted with some kind of an autism, which causes them to have these expressive moments. Yeah, but what if we... And so now here's my kid saying this. Can we just sit in the back and pretend that we're like that? And what do you mean, man? So they want to sit in the back in their Sunday best and every 5 minutes go, yay! What's that going to do? Well, it just makes it more interesting. Why don't you guys just get a freaking missile and get into the whole thing? No, it's boring, man. I want to be able to sit in the back, just kind of looking up at the ceiling and go, and nobody can kick my ass for it. I'm like, dude, I will. Well, how come they get? Because they have a problem. Well, why don't they go into some private room? No, man. If there's one place where you get to go and you can do anything, you know, everybody's welcome's in a church. You dig? Well, it's really disturbing to hear guys. I'm going to tell you something right now, man. What, are they supposed to, like, chill out so you'll be comfortable talking about Jesus? What, are you going to do, put them in a freaking airtight room, soundproof? Those guys get to sit there and do their thing, even if it is going halfway through the mass. So this is the big thing these guys try to talk to me. You know, they want to convince me, this next Sunday we'll sit in the back, you can be with us, and you can just pat us on the head, and every now and then we'll go, and no one's going to throw us out. I said, it ain't going to happen, man, so just give it up. I'll let you guys start smoking pot before I let that happen, okay? You'll be smoking pot in our house before I ever let you sit in. As a matter of fact, if it came down to it, where they said, okay, Henry, here it is, your kids can do one of two things. Sit in the back of a church and pretend they're autistic by blurting things out like, or smoke big fat joints, which is it? I'd say start rolling. Very cruel. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up is Doug Danger on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.